Get a kick when you click at chapelboro.com. Chapelboro.com, more of what you live here for. And now, welcome to The Art of Potential with your host, Kristen Heemstra, on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra with The Art of Potential show, and we have a great show in store for you, and it is a show that is geared toward the mature worker, the person who has a lot of experience, a lot to offer, and is going out into the job market. And we have a wonderful guest today, Mike Komovas. And Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're connected to this particular topic?
I got connected to this a little over 4 years ago, when I realized that my calling is to help people search jobs and explore careers. Mm-hmm. And I had an opportunity to do a practice workshop for someone who was going to be seen by Durham Tech. And that evolved into Durham Tech hiring me part-time to do a whole bunch of workshops, one of which we've worked on together for about almost 4 years now, job search strategies for mature professionals.
Terrific. And why don't you tell me, we were talking a little earlier, so let me kind of say that, but how many folks are coming to those right now?
Well, we have an average of about 16 to 18 in each workshop, and this is workshop number, I think, 14 or 15 that we have had done in the last couple of years. So it's been very, very productive.
Absolutely. So what are some of the common themes you're seeing come through your workshops?
We're seeing people who are scared about what is going on. Why did they lose their job? What to do next? And some of them become literally despondent or don't know where to turn. Others, because they haven't had to look for a job for quite some time, are unsure about looking for a job today and how it's changed. And others are just looking and just trying to figure out, what do I do next? They'd like to do something different, perhaps.
So let's talk a little bit about the psychology that goes into this, because you have three distinct groups that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. The first group, I know the market has not been the best friend to a lot of people right now. So what type of psychological profile are you seeing with those people?
We're seeing a lot of people who just need to get first comfortable and accepting of the fact that they are in charge of looking for a job on their own. And that's hard.
It's
really hard, and it can be real challenging.
So they've experienced, you would say, a loss at that time, a loss of a job. What kind of symptoms do you see, if you will?
Well, Kristen, as we talked a little bit earlier, it's very similar to a death in the family.
Yep.
It is the loss of a community, an entire community with which they were part. And for them to try to replace that is huge. And that is very gripping and often tearful.
And to just comment on that, it's a loss of an identity as well. It's, you know, you used to be able to call yourself this or that. And so with your title comes kind of an ego rush, if you will, of I'm this person or I'm that person. So it gave other people as well a chance to kind of fit you into their mind space of this is your title, this is what you do. So when you lose that, you're kind of out there, I would think, kind of a wash in the sea a little bit.
Well, you're not only that, but I think a lot of people are just ashamed that they don't have a title. And, you know, you hit on it real bad. And they feel real, I'm going to say, not even want to talk to their family about it. And, I mean, it can be brutal, you know.
No, it can. And there was a movie back, the Full Monty is the, you know, the shame piece of it. I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm just going to go do something else and hope nobody notices that I'm not employed. So what are some of the first steps that you take with somebody who is coming in with that kind of emotional orientation?
In our workshops, what we really try to do is to first get them to comfortable to be able to talk just about their own situation, even if it's one-on-one with just maybe one other person. And to share and open up just the fact that they lost their job. I've had people that have been there and they've been afraid to do that for over a year, sometimes two.
Wow.
Others, just a couple of months or even a couple of weeks. But it is a real fear that they're all of a sudden stigmatized or they're carrying this mark on their forehead that I'm no good anymore.
I don't have value anymore.
I don't have value. So to get them to talk first and to be open about it is important. So in our workshops, we figure out some tricks of the trade and some ways to get them talking. And by the end of the first workshop, most of the time, about 90% of them are then willing to stand up and say, hey, here's my situation, here's where I was, and start to think about, here's where I'd like to be.
So there's a healing process involved.
Absolutely.
So you have to kind of, and Alma seems to me that once you can put words around the experience, you mentally can accept it. But if you don't put words around it, you can kind of leave it out there in the gray space unidentified. Well,
exactly. And for them to be able to describe what it is that they did, and very importantly, to get them to talk about some of their success stories is crucial. And that's really, really helpful. So
yeah, it would move them into different mental space for sure. Okay, so you have, that's one category of folks you have coming in. And then you have some who are coming in and they have willfully left their work and are looking to engage in the workforce. And tell me a little bit about that group.
So very interestingly, they can come from a variety of backgrounds. Mm-hmm. They can literally be people with perhaps a college degree and quite often masters and even PhDs, and they've hit a wall or they've gotten to 10, 15, sometimes 20 years and figured out the question is that all there is? And try to figure out, okay, so I want a little more excitement or gratification.
So, or way to express myself, because I'm more than just what I what that title is or what that job is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so for them, a real good resource is a book called Halftime, and it's written by a person named Bob Buford. So the first half of his life, he was successful, but he was not self-satisfied.
He wasn't fulfilled.
So like the basketball or the football game, he goes in at halftime and says, I need a new game plan.
I love that.
So he changes his goal from success to significance.
Okay.
And that then launches as I'm thinking about things. So where can I help? What kind of needs are there in a community? Where might my attributes or skills be of help?
So for those folks coming in, it sounds like you have them do a self-analysis, a values analysis, if you will, to find out what really gets them jazzed.
Yes. Yeah, and one thing we do for everybody in the workshop, we do what I call Mike's Quick Drive Self-Knowledge Checkup, which talks about their strengths, their values, and their motivations. And then I have them describe, I'm going to say in paper, a YouTube video moment when they had a spark, when everything was kind of clicking and going really, really well. That gives them a frame of reference to try to say, hey, that's the environment I want.
And does everyone have that moment?
They do. Some of them need to reflect on it.
Yeah.
I've had both men and women come back the next workshop having written down the birth of a child. Whoa, okay, as a real, you know, high moment. I've had others say, you know, graduated or got a diploma or made a couple $1 million, you know. So the whole thought there is, I'm going to say, it's really out there.
Well, okay, so I just need a little bit of help putting this in context. So if you say that, you know, one of my highlights is having a child, how do you then turn that into a tool for your job search?
Well, part of that is, in a way, getting to know yourself. And again, there's other resources.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, Now Discover Your Strengths or Strength Finders are terrific resources for doing a quick and very current and practical self-analysis to discover what you're really good at. And again, people are really blown away by what they think they're going to get and what they actually end up receiving in terms of information. So it's always fascinating. That can really help. Because I keep telling them also that you don't have to love your strength, but know you have it and figure out how it's going to help you.
No, that's a great way to put it. That really is because, you know, we know that the world needs as many strong people who have so many talents. We just need those people out there working. And to your point, when it's natural, sometimes I think it's harder for people to ID it. It's almost because they haven't had to work on it. It's just come with the package and maybe someone's never pointed it out before and there you have it.
Yeah. And by doing it yourself, I think is critical. So that's not somebody else, quote, diagnosing them.
Right.
It's a self-assessment. So I just tell them, hey, be honest.
You know.
But I also, you know, have them think through what are their values.
Absolutely.
And that's critical.
Yes, it is.
Oftentimes, you know, we'll ask the question, has anybody in the class ever had an evil boss? every hand goes up, including mine, right. You know. And what that says is, okay, so I'm not alone, you know. So it might have been the reason they left, or it might have been the reason, you know, they started to perform in a different manner. So.
And I want to talk more about this because I think it's a very powerful piece of a job search. We are going to take a quick break. You are listening to Kristen Heemstra. This is the Art of Potential show. If you have a moment, please go to Facebook and give us a big thumbs up, and we'd love to hear your ideas. We'll be right back.
Visit chapelboro.com for more of What You Live Here For. And now, back to The Art of Potential with Kristen Heemstra on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
This is Kristen Heemstra on The Art of Potential show, and I am talking to Mike Komovas. And we are having a great conversation. We were just talking about bosses, and one of the phrases I hear is that people don't leave jobs, they leave bosses. And I do think that there's some truth to that. They're, for the job seeker, they're... many different things that are important. Supervision is paramount. So can you give us an example of your particular situation when you talked about working for an evil boss?
Well, what happens is you get hired by the hiring manager.
Mm-hmm.
The day you get hired, it's all love and kisses. We're just so happy you're
like
here.
A romance.
Wow.
Right.
Well, they had. They romanced you. They made you a job offer. And they've mm-hmm. gone on from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you work for a while, and maybe 6 months or 9 months later, maybe an opportunity in a different department comes up, and maybe you're kind of interested in it, or you're asked to go there. So you do, and guess what? You have a different boss. So you have to start all over again. Or maybe the boss maybe have left you, and she or he got promoted.
Yes.
Guess what? It's a new boss. It's a brand new company. So you have to then train another boss, as we put it. And the boss has to train a whole bunch of people on, you know, how they behave and what he or she wants and go from there. And that can be just nerve-wracking, and it can be frustrating.
It can be. And, you know, I forget what the stats are on mental illness, but I do want to bring this up. There are sometimes you're going to run into people in the workplace that are just simply unhealthy, and there's nothing that's wrong with you, and there's nothing that's wrong with the company, but you're not going to be able to win in that particular situation. It is what it is. Call it like it is, and, you know, figure out your options from mm-hmm. that point on.
That's very important, you know, yeah. And that leads to a thought there that one of the things I encourage is to try to do a little reflection and figure out,
yes.
do what you love,
yes.
love what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, you're never going to work another day in your life. And that really is true. If you really love doing what you're doing, if you have a passion for something, it'll show. Wear it.
Absolutely. And it also gives you a better window, I think, to take responsibility for who you are and what you're about. And getting back to this boss kind of a thing, you know, just because somebody isn't mentally healthy doesn't mean that they don't have valid points that you need to go back and reflect on and say, ooh, I could have done that better. I could have done this better. But to your point, Mike, when you do what you love, it's easier to look back and say, this is really, really important to me, and I really want this to work. And you do go the extra mile, and you do things like what you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. And you invite other people to, as we say, come aboard,
mm-hmm.
and they will respond very positively.
Absolutely.
If they know you're really passionate about it.
Well, your spark, you know, the spark kind of gets people energized around you. So
well, we try to do that, you
yes.
know, and that's important.
Well, here's a question I have. So if you are a mature job seeker and you are looking to find work in this area, first of all, I hear a lot of people saying, oh, there are no jobs out there. There are just no jobs. What is your take on that?
Well, my take on that is they haven't checked this morning's news, which I did this
yeah.
morning. So even in Chapel Hill, there literally are over thousands of jobs available within 25 miles of Chapel Hill. Go on Indeed.com, go to the advanced job search, put in your information, it'll be there. If you're over the age of 30 or 40 or maybe even 45, you could put in the word senior in front of the word engineer and just see what happens. And you're still going to get a lot of hits. So there are jobs out there. I think the key thing that I see is people are not prepared for the job search, and because of that, they've been rebuffed or been told that magic word, no thank you. maybe once too often. They get discouraged and they get turned down, and they may fall out, literally, from wanting to do it, rather than taking the steps of saying, what do I have to do different and better?
Taking responsibility.
Exactly. And today's technology is really helping rather than hurting in terms of what job seeking is all about.
Well, okay, so how do you work with a person who doesn't have the knowledge of how to approach a job search? What is your advice to them?
Well, one of the things I do is to have them figure out what are the elements that would work in an effective job search plan, figure out what they are. And
what are some examples?
Well, some examples are, for instance, you have to have not only a good resume, but you need to have what I would call a proper, and I call it the elevator speech, but is a brief 30 to 45 second description of yourself in terms of who you are, what you did last, and importantly, who do you want to meet and why?
Okay, so do you have one of those you can just give?
I can give it right now. So
let's hear it, because I think it's very important, and I'd love to hear one.
So I'm Mike Komovas. I help people search for jobs and explore careers. If you've returned to the workforce after military service or parenting, if you've recently been put on a transition program voluntarily or involuntarily, if you are looking to figure out what to do for retirement purposes, you're the kind of a person that might get some help in a job search strategies workshop or as an individual client. You know people in that area? Give me a call. My name is Mike Komovas, K-O-M-I-V-E-S. I'm on LinkedIn.
Terrific. Sounds like you might have given that a time or two before.
Well, the other thing about that is I've given that a lot of times, and almost every time I give it, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, don't try to memorize it. Remember the keywords and let her rip, because it's the keywords.
The keywords and the intention behind it.
Yes.
You know, what are you trying to communicate?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the resume, because if you are a mature worker, you conceivably could have, you know, four pages of legitimate things on your resume.
Okay.
So what's your advice around that?
My advice is see from a good editing standpoint, how would you present yourself in about two pages?
Okay.
And another thought about it is people want to see the results or the outcomes of your involvement. So figure out what those are. And a very easy way to do that is think of a three-letter acronym, S-I-R. S is just describes some situations real briefly. Two or three keywords, maybe a sentence. I stands for involvement. Describe your involvement. That means the actions you took.
Yep.
Again, maybe a sentence, maybe a couple of keywords. And importantly, the R stands for results or what happened. And you do that again with just a couple of keywords. You're going to have a lot of situations. You're going to have a lot of involvements. Importantly, you're going to have tons of success stories or results. Figure out how you can work those into your resume, particularly on the top half of page one. That's where 90% of the decisions are made within 12 to 20 seconds on whether we want to interview you or not.
Okay, so the top half of the first page, you've got your SIR, S-I-R, your situation, involvement, and result. And do you have, you know, some that you have on a running list and then you switch those out based on the job description?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's very appropriate to have two or three or four, I'm going to say, versions or template boxes of resumes. Largely below the summary or the profile section, most of the other information will be rather stead or in a bank. But the top part is what's going to reflect the keywords that you see from either a job description or from a conversation with a hiring manager.
Okay, so then I want to take you to another comment you make. You can find me on LinkedIn. So I've got my resume. I've got this whole box of things I can switch out. Where does LinkedIn come in?
LinkedIn is powerful. Over 100 million people belong to LinkedIn. More importantly, companies, individuals, organizations, institutions use LinkedIn to find people. So you want to put your keywords on your LinkedIn profile. I heartily recommend considering going to William Blackman's basic training class. He is fabulous. He's absolutely wonderful.
I did a show with William Blackman, just if anyone wants to download it. It is on WCHL's website, but he does go through step-by-step how to get your profile on LinkedIn.
He does that, and he does those. I send people to him all the time. And we also do about two or three times a year a a LinkedIn workshop here in Chapel Hill. We got one coming up October 22 at the Job Skills Center on Franklin Street. Okay. It'll be 8:30 till about 11:30 in the morning, open to anybody who wants help on LinkedIn.
Terrific. It is. It's a very powerful resource. And I've had clients who've gotten hired off of their profile of LinkedIn. A lot of people get contacted. What happens in the hiring process is that a hiring manager needs to fill a certain amount of slots when they do interviews. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to go to LinkedIn and Google what you want to hire for and see who comes up. A lot of times a job may actually be filled internally, but what matters is that they have the amount of people on their roster saying that they've interviewed that amount of people. So I've seen a lot of people contacted that way.
Yeah, LinkedIn is powerful. It's very effective. You need to know how to use it.
Yep.
In the summary section of LinkedIn, put your cell phone number and your email address first, and then put a little summary below it. Again, that comes under another mantra. Make it as easy as possible for anybody to help you and to hire you.
Well, I want to talk a lot about that because that is key. If there's anything you take away from this show, remember that. You are listening to the Art of Potential show. This is Kristen Heemstra. I am talking with Mike Homovitz. And when we return, we're going to talk about how to make it easy for employers to find you.
Visit chapelboro.com for more of what you live here for. And now, back to The Art of Potential with Kristen Heemstra on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Mike Homovitz about how to make it easy for employers to find you. So, Mike, how do you make it easy for an employer to find and to hire you?
Well, one of the things is just classic networking, and you have to go out and meet people. You start with people you know. I make a challenge, you know more people than you think you do. And the whole thought is go back to your neighborhoods, mm-hmm. go back to places where you volunteered.
Yep.
Also, very important for people that have recently lost a job, connect and reconnect with your colleagues from where you worked.
Absolutely.
And some of them may not even be there anymore.
Nope.
Also, connect with people who left the place where you worked. Follow them. Get a figure out a way to meet them. Cup of coffee. Whatever it happens to do. So, you know, you have to reconnect and establish the network. And
yeah, you definitely do. And regardless of what industry you're in, everything I have seen leads me to believe more and more people just recycle the same players in the same industry, whether you're working in television news, whether you're working in education, mm-hmm. regardless of the field, you see the same players pop up often from different organizations. So if you have a connection with somebody from a previous work experience, they're often doing something very similar and can provide a great reference for you to go into that.
And another add-on, and that's an important point, is a good thought passed on to me by a dear friend, is the people who know you the most mm-hmm. will end up helping you the least.
Okay.
The people you know the least or don't even know at all will end up helping you the most. Part of the reason for that is very simple. The people who know you the most already think they know how to help you.
Ah, interesting.
The people you know the least, mm-hmm. you're going to give some guidance. And mm-hmm. you're going to say, hey, Kristen, here's how you can help me.
And to that point, we know from research that it's one person removed from your immediate contact that often provides the job leads. And if you've listened to the show before, you've heard me say that a million times, but I find it fascinating. So it may not be Mike that provides the job lead, but it might be Mike's friend who provides the job lead. But Mike can't know that job lead is valuable to me unless Mike knows that I'm looking for a job.
Well, that's exactly right. And other good sources are what we call the job networking groups.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a ton of them around.
There are.
Okay. A couple of favorites are the Colonial Baptist one over in Raleigh.
Yep.
They're kind of the granddaddy of them all.
They are.
One of my favorites is TAFU, T-A-F-U. That stands for To Avoid Future Unemployment. So they get together on the first and third yep. Thursdays of each month at 7:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And
a.m.
they do that, yeah. So some of this means a behavior change for
yes.
people in job search, you know. But there, you want to have your elevator speech ready. You're going to
Absolutely.
Be given 30 or 45 seconds to describe it. Nobody leaves that meeting without maybe one or two real good new contacts.
That's terrific. And I'd like to add a few more to that, too. There's White Memorial Presbyterian Church in Raleigh. They have a big group. St. Francis of Assisi in Raleigh has another great group out there. And then Triangle Networking Group, TNG, is also a great one. To your point, it doesn't, you only need one job lead to get a job, so you don't have to go to all of them.
Well, exactly. Well, that's the other point I make. And there's also the Jobs Network of St. Thomas More right here in Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. And so we get together on the second and fourth Saturdays of each month. So we meet on Saturdays because all the other job groups meet on Mondays through Fridays. Yeah. So there are some excellent workshops out there. Your point about you only need, the one job offer, it's a little bit like selling the house. Yeah. You need one qualified buyer.
Right.
So here you need one qualified buyer of you.
Well said. Very well said. And the best way to find a well-qualified buyer is to get out there and network. I love these job groups. I will say that I have seen people who spend more time at the job groups than they do in actual networking. And when I've talked to job groups and the same people have shown up, I'm like, if you followed my advice, this is the last place you would be.
Well, that's exactly right, Kristen, because I tell people, there's a ton of job-seeking groups out there.
Mm-hmm.
Find two or maybe three that don't meet every week and use those, but don't go to them all the time. You could have a 40-hour-a-week job just attending job-seeking groups.
Yes, you can.
But there's no pay.
There's no pay. And I will say, to get back to the earlier part of our conversation, when you have been let go or when you're in kind of that depressed state about losing part of your identity, there is something very healing about being with another group of people. And yes, misery loves company, but honestly, sometimes you just need that. You just need a group of people to sit around and let you know you're okay.
And importantly, these are people that have a very important shared value.
Yeah.
They're, in a way, just like you, and that's critical.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we're going to transition back here to resumes because resumes are critical to the job search. So we just talked about trading things out. One of the things that I would like to mention, though, is how many years of experience do you typically encourage a person to have on their resume?
Well, particularly since we're talking about the older job seeker, I find it very practical to list maybe as much as 10 or 12 years, occasionally 15. But people are interested in what have you done lately, and it's very subjective, so that could be as little as 5 or 8 years. So I always recommend to people, look at it, try it out with maybe 8 to 10 years, and then you can put in a phrase that says previous or prior experience. There you would list your title, the place you worked, where it's located, but not the years you worked there.
So how would you incorporate experience you had 15 years ago and keep it current on your resume? Because maybe that's the experience the employer is looking for. I'm trying to figure this out in my head. Like, how would you bring that into the top half of your resume?
Well, you can do that in your summary or your profile section.
Okay.
Can belong there.
Okay.
The other thing, you can also consider a different template, which would be a functional resume rather than a sequential.
Yep. And if you're looking for different resume types, Word and WordPerfect, they have them in the new document section, so you can go there and look at them there. I have one on my website, Art of Potential, called a hybrid. I like the hybrid. I don't know if you've seen that, where you kind of have the functional on the top, so you get to say all your really great stuff right away. And then you move it down to sequential, where you're then show how long you stayed with employers and stuff like that.
That's very practical. And another tip is, when you're ready to send it off to a potential employer, send it off as both a Word and maybe as a PDF document.
That makes sense.
And make sure that you don't just say resume, but put your name on it. Make it as easy as possible for them to know whose resume they're going to be bringing up.
Okay, so we've made it easy for them to see that it's my resume or the job seeker's resume. How else does a person make themselves easy to find in this job market?
Well, one of the things is I'm going to say, just get out there, learn something about the company, the industry, the people that you're going to be meeting. And you do that by being the good detective. So I often tell people, if you want to learn about a little bit of the values of a company, you're going to become a detective. You're going to grab a cup of coffee and go there early in the morning before their business opens, and you're going to sit in the parking lot or maybe in the reception room with your cup of coffee and just watch the people.
And then okay, that scares me.
Well, it can scare a lot of people. Okay, so maybe you do it outside rather than inside. But the whole thought about that is you're going to draw some conclusions just watching people.
Yep.
Are they animated, active? Are they talking with each other?
Yeah.
Or are they walking in there like robots?
Yeah.
Importantly, people need to know it's okay to say no, thank you for a job offer if it doesn't meet your specifications and your values.
Okay, so give me an example of that, because I'm thinking of an unemployed person who needs to have a job. Saying the words no, thank you sounds like it would just be very hard if there was an offer out there.
Well, it is very hard. We know that's very, very challenging. And we come back to a basic fact. You know, we talk about working for the big company because of security.
Yeah.
Well, the point I make is your only security is yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to believe and have faith. Mm-hmm. And I'm a huge believer that when one door closes, even if you're the one closing the door, other doors will open. So
you need to be the one opening the door.
That's right. Which also brings me to a thought. There's a great book by Harvey Mackey, who wrote some funny, funny stories about how to swim with the sharks or beware the naked man who offers you his shirt. Well, he's written a real good book on job search called Use Your Head to Get Your Foot in the Door. And one of the chapters he wrote, it's like he attended our workshop.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really all right on. I mean, it was just all the things that are important. And also, again, Strength Finders are, you know, there's a lot of good resources out there.
Terrific. Well, we're going to take one more break, and when we come back, I do want to talk about the resources available to people in the community, because I do know there are a lot out there. You are listening to Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Mike Homovitz, and we'll be right back.
Visit chapelboro.com for more of What You Live Here For. And now, back to The Art of Potential with Kristen Heemstra on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Hi, welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Mike Homovitz. You are listening to The Art of Potential show, and we are talking about the job market for mature workers. And Mike, you have just such a wealth of knowledge on this particular demographic. What are some resources out there for people?
There's a lot of available resources, such as Durham Tech's offering of job search strategies for mature professionals. It's a 6-week workshop, twice a week, 3 hours each time, 36 hours in all. And people come, they don't have to register or pre-register, they just show
nice.
Up. We have one starting October 17 in Durham at Durham Tech. It'll be Monday and Wednesdays.
So it's the Durham campus. Because I know there's an Orange County campus,
too. Well, there's three places they offer it. This one will be at the Durham campus in Durham.
Okay.
They also will have one in January at the Orange County campus in Hillsboro.
Okay.
And right now we're finishing one up at the Job Skills Center here in Chapel Hill. So we rotate those around. They seem to be very effective. So that's a good one. Other resources are really the job networking groups.
Mm-hmm.
The other resources out there are obviously some internet-based ones. Don't be afraid to get out there. Back to LinkedIn. There's a lot of LinkedIn groups that are really, really good. Okay. And
what is a LinkedIn group?
A LinkedIn group is a group like a Marketing Mondays, for instance, has set up a group on LinkedIn with a Yahoo designation, but through LinkedIn, you can see and connect with everybody who belongs to Marketing Mondays. Marketing Mondays is a kind of a more, I'm going to say, current version of what used to be the American Marketing Association meetings that took place in the Raleigh-Durham area 15, 20, 30 years ago. So this is a group of, I'm going to say, younger marketing professionals, maybe up to the age of 50 or so, but that are with it. They get together. They have guest speakers. It's a great avenue to meet people in marketing, for instance. Other resources are associations. Every business has an association. A good one would be the Association of Information Technology Professionals, AITP. They get together once a month over in Centennial Park. People who are working get a blue badge. So it would say Kristen Heemstra, WCHL. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
People who are not working get a red badge.
Okay.
And they just get their name on it.
That just sounds like a big old...
It sounds crazy, but we know what happens. The blue badges seek out the red badges in a very nice fashion and will say, "So, Kristen, how can I help you?" Wow.
Now, well, that's terrific because you don't have to say anything because you just say it all with your badge.
Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like a name tag if you want. Now, some people get embarrassed, but you got to get past being embarrassed. Yeah. There's nothing to be embarrassed about by being out of work. Absolutely nothing.
Okay, so the other thing that I would like to bring up, and we touched on briefly, is a lot of the churches in the area tend to be the ones that are having these groups. Whatever your place of worship is, that's actually a great place also to network. Have you found that in your experience?
Absolutely. For a lot of different reasons, places of worship, if you go there, is a place with shared values. So you can know people that are there. They offer lots of different resources. They are excellent, excellent resources. And now with like Durham Tech and even Wake Tech, they're starting to get into it too. Mm-hmm. Other places to check would be your chambers of commerce.
Absolutely.
And oftentimes they will have before or after business hours networking meetings.
Yep.
There's also things like the Leeds Group.
Yes.
And
tell us about the Leeds Group.
The Leeds Group got its start right here in Chapel Hill about 13 years ago. They have spawned numerous other ones. I guess spawned is the right word. But, you know, they get together in Hillsboro, Pittsboro, Durham, and lots of other places. And they'll meet. And these are a bunch of entrepreneurs and business owners that get together and try to support each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to meet people who are working and have businesses and you have something to offer them, it's a great place to go and practice. Another good resource are Toastmasters. In fact, a person at this station, Sharon Hill, is the Toastmaster of them all.
She is.
She is a hoot. She is great. And so it's a great way to practice your elevator speech and get comfortable talking in front of others.
Absolutely. And a couple thoughts. The entrepreneurial energy that you find at the Leeds Group has its own power to it, because one of the things in a job search that you're doing is you're selling yourself and getting around the mindset of how do I approach and attract clients has a parallel life in a job search of how do I attract and compel someone to hire me. And the way you handle your job search is often a reflection of how you're going to be as an employee. And so when you parallel those two things, you can just really take so much from the Leeds Group.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And another thought that, you know, people often overlook is the power of volunteering.
Oh, yes.
And that is huge. And I have several stories of people, because of their volunteer efforts, have received job offers. And
can you share one of those? Because you're on to, this is gold right
okay,
here.
Okay, so one of them would be Faye Morin, who came up here from Florida with her husband several years ago. She had an opportunity to go with another person to the Urban Ministries of Durham. It's a gritty ministry.
It
wow.
is. They and are in powerful. The heart of everything.
And they really are. And she had the opportunity to go there. She started at like an hour a week and then stepped it up to half a day and then to a day a week. And then not too long after she was there, some other person who had been heading up a group of volunteers left and moved to Phoenix. So some people came to Faye and said, "Hey, Faye, you should go for that job." So she applied for that job, and she is now one of the two or three directors of volunteers, and it's a paid position. Wow. So the email subject from her said, "I died and went to heaven." I love that.
That is terrific.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's there.
It is there. And the other piece of information that I think is important to keep in mind is we know that relationships that are formed outside of a job search conversation tend to be very strong relationships. So when you're volunteering, you're not looking for a job. You're looking to help somebody else, whether you're driving, doing Meals on Wheels or, you know, some of the other community things. So a person gets a chance to have exposure to you, to decide whether they like you or not, to see how you work and do all those things. And those, we don't have people in compartments in our head. We have people in general space in our head. So if you you know that Sally always shows up, then you know that if you put her in a work environment, Sally's always going to show up. And rolling up your sleeves and getting the work done is mm-hmm. something that will take you really far regardless
Absolutely.
Of where you are.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other opportunity, as I say, is always pay forward. And volunteering is a terrific way to do that.
It is.
So I start most of my workshops by a simple statement. It's not about you. It's what you can do for others.
Yes.
And, you know, it's what you can do for others. That's what your hiring manager wants to know.
Yes.
Volunteering is a great way to figure out and demonstrate what you can do for others.
Yes, and actually, we're going to wrap up here, but I want to get back to this because one of the biggest misconceptions I see out on the job front are people thinking that employers are want to know their story or want to know about them. And the truth is, as harsh as the reality is, employers really just want to know what you can do for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you have any.
It's a great setup because we came back to those little stories I talked about before.
Yep.
So each of those little success stories can be a demonstration
mm-hmm.
of how you have helped somebody else succeed. So the thought is, I'm not looking for a job. I'm looking for my next success. And the thought of my next success can be with your company. Here's what I did for company A. I can do just like that for you.
Here's how I made them successful. Here's how I'll make you successful. And in the process, be successful myself. Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been great having you here.
Kristen, thank you. It's been an honor to be here. It's a real pleasure. Thanks.
Well, thank you. You have just listened to the Art of Potential show on 1360 WCHL. We would love to hear your comments and your feedback, as well as to get a big thumbs up from you on Facebook. You can find all opportunities to do all this on chapelboro.com.